This podcast was recorded at the 2009 CUPE National Convention.
Sisters and brothers, it's my great privilege to introduce Brother Jack Layton. Most of you know him. You've seen him in person, on TV. No long introduction is required. Jack has spent more than two decades in the public service of his country. He served as a counselor, a scholar, a president of the Federation of Canadian Municipalities, a chair of the Toronto Board of Health, and the list goes on. He served the NDP his entire life, and since 2003 as leader. In 2008, he successfully increased the federal caucus by almost 25%, making it the second largest team of New Democrat MPs in the history of the party. But as equally important, if not more so, anyone who knows Jack knows that at every turn he speaks of policies and issues that affect Canadian workers and Canadian families. Jack Layton is a good friend of the labour movement and a very good friend of CUPE. He picks up the phone and he and I talk, well, I don't know how often. It's at least weekly. It's often more times than that. He's met with our National Executive Board. He spoke as the keynote speaker this year at our Atlantic Maritimes first ever political action conference. And Jack has been there for us on and on and on. Jack has phoned me at troubled times as well. Jack phoned me when our party took a position in support of our troops, public servants in Canada, but against the war in Afghanistan. And he got pillared from post to post by saying that the world needed to speak with the people of Afghanistan, even those that we don't like all the time. And he got pillared for that comment. Today, the President of the United States of America, the entire world is saying what Jack Layton said 2 years ago. Because Jack stands up in Parliament, not because it's a popular issue, but because these are the right issues and it's principle that governs Jack Layton. Sisters and brothers, a warm, warm CUPE welcome for our friend, my friend, your friend, the Honorable Jack Layton. I didn't wear a tie. He's not even wearing a tie today, but say hi to Jack Layton.
Well, good morning. Ça va bien?
Everything's fine? Did you have a lot of fun last night in Montreal? Oh, yeah. A little too much fun, maybe. Well, I was born in Montreal, you know, and I'm really proud to be back in Montreal with you. And thank you for this warm welcome. Thanks, Paul. Thanks to all the members of the NEB. And all my friends, brothers and sisters in the room.
And I'm going to start by thanking CUPE. I'm going to start by thanking you for your support and encouragement in so many ways, but I want to single out one sister that I have been fortunate enough to extract from the CUPE family for a brief period of time. Her name is Anne McGrath, and she's my chief of staff, and by golly, she's the best chief of staff you could imagine. Anne is somewhere in the hall here. There she is. And I was beginning to compile a list of all of the CUPE members who are either candidates or on our executive bodies and decision-making bodies or on our riding association executives. And the list was so long, it would have taken up my entire 20-minute speech. So I just simply want to say a huge thank you to all of you for being part of the political movement that's going to change this country, because we've done it before and we're going to do it again. And secondly, I want to thank you for the crucial services that you provide to Canadians. Because when we think about what it's like to live in this country, And I hear this especially from new immigrants who somehow seem to appreciate things in a special way. People like Olivia's mother. It's almost always the public services that we provide, our health care, our education, the full gamut of public services that people say are the reason that they chose Canada to come to. And I want to thank you for providing those public services to Canadians across this country each and every day. It's important in so many ways. Un grand merci pour les services que vous et vos mames nous donnent. And right now, public service is more important than ever. I know that you are, and your members, who sent you here as delegates, see the impact of this recession that we're going through from the front lines. I was thinking about some of you who work in childcare centers, and you know that there are families who are coming to you and saying, we lost a job in the family, we can't afford the childcare anymore. And I know that you're members, and some of you right here work with those kids, and you're worried about what this future holds. And by the way, that's why we need a national coast-to-coast-to-coast childcare program, public sector, high-quality, early childhood development, and we have a bill in front of the House of Commons that should be passed to make it so. Some of you work in, of course, many of you work in the municipal sector. It's a sector I know well, having spent 20 years as a municipal councillor and president of the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. And I don't mind saying that while I was on the executive of the FCM, we took a step to invite the municipal workers into our national convention. And now the municipal workers and CUPE holds a place of honour within the municipalities when we meet, and I think that that's appreciated and important. And thank you to Paul and the leadership here for taking that up. But in this recession, some of you are sitting across a desk or at the end of a phone from somebody who's lost their job, somebody who's run out of EI, somebody who's now having to turn to welfare, and it's probably one of the most difficult moments that they've ever faced. And you're having to apply the rules, but you're also extending a hand of compassion to a person in that situation. We've had 500,000 people lose their jobs in the last 12 months. It is shameful. And you're seeing the consequences of it right up close, face to face. This isn't some statistic that we're talking about in your lives. And what we need is more support for the public service and the public servants that provide this kind of help to people at that key moment. Now, some of you work in home care, and that means you're going into the homes of families that are dealing with this economic recession, and you're seeing some of the consequences. And I've talked to some of the people who do this kind of work, and watching how people are struggling in poverty without the support that they need. You're witnessing firsthand the strains on marriages, the impact on children. Some of you drive ambulances. I know of a case, and unfortunately, there's far too many of them, where an ambulance pulled up to a home in Dryden where the mill closed and threw hundreds of workers out of work, and there was no other work available. And what had happened was that a worker had fallen into such despair that he had committed suicide. And the ambulance workers are the first ones on the scene with that family. In fact, there were 4 such suicides in a 6-week period in Dryden. Public service workers are on the front lines of this recession in so many different ways. In healthcare, you're seeing the impact of stress on families and the toll that it's taking. And of course, right now also, you're being asked to play a very important role, many of you, as we face the onslaught of H1N1, and you're even worried about the potential impacts on you and your families. For all of these reasons, government should always be standing behind public service workers. And I'll tell you one thing, this New Democratic Party of Canada will always stand behind public service and public service workers.
In the manufacturing sector, forestry, automobiles, you know people who are suffering because they lost their jobs in these important sectors for our economy. With the what you must pay for EI, you're not contributing, you can't contribute to EI because you're not earning any money. And then you have families. And in the family, there's somebody who lost the job. Maybe he's not in the public sector, and he lost his job. So for you people, we know that there are people who have to go and work overtime to try and pay the bills at the end of the month because there was a loss of other jobs in the family. There's something that's not very well understood in Canada. It's that your work helps Canada to be prosperous.
Statistic that came out this morning that proves the point. We hear that the unemployment rate has apparently dropped a point or two, a tenth of a point or two, let me be clear, in the last month. But when you look more closely at the figures, what you find is that private sector employment is continuing to fall, and it's only because of the increase in public sector work that we have some jobs coming back in this country. So anybody who says to me that the solution going forward is to be cutting back on public service doesn't understand the economy, and we won't stand for it. This is a time to be supporting public service because it's good for the economy as well. But you can already hear the drumbeats, can't you? The drumbeats coming from the extreme right-wingers and some of the bank economists that are very good at predicting what's good for banks, but not so darn good at predicting what's good for people. Now, they're saying, well, we've got this huge debt, and they're starting to beat the drums of what that's going to mean, and that they're going to have to be cuts. And I know that you're worried about that, and I think you're right to be worried about that, because we've seen this story before. We certainly saw it in Ontario with Mike Harris. Half his cabinet is now in the Harper cabinet. Everybody should think very carefully about that. But when you cut public service, you leave families who need help out in the cold. And you also damage the economy. So this is not the time to retreat from public services. This is the time for public services. But you know, there's something else at play here. Dans cette crise économique,
in this economic crisis, we see an increase of injustice in our society. We see the extremities of riches and poverty. The distance between them is even greater in this crisis. However, one of the important things to reduce social inequality and social injustice is public services.
A great leveler. They help us to achieve equality in our society. Think about health care for a moment. In our country, one of our fundamental values is that no matter who you are, or what bank balance you've got, or whether you have a credit card that has some room left on the line of credit, it doesn't matter. That's not a relevant question. Because when you need health care for your family, no matter who you are, rich or poor, from one end of the country to the other, you come in with a health card and get the health care that you need. You don't use your credit card or get denied the health care that you need. And that's about equality. That's about equality. Nothing is more important than the health care of your family. And in Canada, we say everybody has equal access to that. That's really important. And so it's really about fairness, making sure we have public services for everybody, from childcare to emergency response to government services of all kinds. It's about fairness and equality to all Canadians. And so cutbacks and outsourcing and privatization of these services is about reducing equality and fairness in our society. And that's wrong. And we're going to be in a battle about this over the next number of months and few years coming out of this recession, because you can be sure, as night follows day, that there will be those who will tell us we have to go back to what we were doing before the crisis happened, as though we had learned absolutely nothing. Well, I tell you, it's not time to go back to the old thinking. It's time to pick up some new thinking and take us forward. And I want to talk about a few of the key elements of this with you today, just briefly, because I know you've got a lot of work to do here at the convention. And so I want to just touch on a few things. I want to talk about what's not fair that's coming forward. Vous n'avez qu'à regarder.
Just take a look at the PPP failures. PPPs were not able to develop the infrastructures that we need. Instead of privatizing the private sector, why not, for example, look at the exaggerated bonuses that the CEOs are giving themselves? People, for example, who run Canada Pension Plan, they got a $7 million bonus a couple of months ago, after having lost $24 billion of our savings last year. It's incredible.
Dollars on the job, you wouldn't go expecting millions of dollars in bonuses. But that's what's happening today, even with our public pension plan. That's wrong. And last week, CanWest filed for creditor protection, which is going to compromise the pensions of the workers and result in several hundred of them being fired. But the executives, even as they were filing for creditor protection, they set aside $10 million in bonuses for a very small number of senior executives. They don't get it. This should not be allowed. Because if you're going to take money away from the workers who worked hard to build the value in a company, you shouldn't be giving yourself bonuses at the same time. That's just plain shameful. Now, as I said, you're on the front line, so you know what we need to do. We've been talking with Canadians across the country for the last couple of months in the depths of this recession. And I'll tell you what they told me. They said, Jack, we don't want an election. We want help for the unemployed. And so that's what we're fighting for, is help for the unemployed. And I don't mind telling you that I sat down with the Prime Minister and I described to Stephen Harper the faces of the people I'd met from different parts of the country who'd lost their work. And I said, we've got to help them out. I know it's not your orientation, it's not your ideology, but it's time to be helping people. I think you realize, you know what I'm talking about. You're imagining yourself in this conversation right now. And I said, we've got to get some help to these people. And I appealed to him as a human being. And he came forward. Yes, somebody said, good luck. Anyway, we managed to get $1 billion out of a reluctant government that's going to go to tens of thousands of families across the country to help them when they're having a tough time to make ends meet. Now, it's not enough. We've got much more that we've got to do. Tous les chômeurs et les chômeuses et leurs...
All unemployed people and their families will not be helped by that program. There are some families that will, of course, have access to that during the hard and harsh winters to assist them in paying their bills. But we will keep fighting to obtain other improvements to the EI system. What Canadians are looking for, they want jobs. So it is obvious, in order to increase the number of jobs, we need to invest in public services. And this is why we will keep asking for a more proactive approach from the Harper government. And there's something else we will be doing. We must protect the pensions
of retirees and protect the pension system that has been built up by workers across this country. This money belongs to them. It's got to be protected so it can't be stolen by governments or corporations. Now, a campaign, and this shows you how when we're united, as your president said in his speech, when you're united, you can get great things done. We worked with the labor movement, the CLC, and I want to congratulate the CLC on this particular campaign, because for years, if a company went bankrupt, if you were owed wages, you didn't get them. If you had a severance pay coming, you didn't get it. If the company hadn't been making payments to your pension plan, they were lost. In fact, you could lose much of your pension as well. And we said that's wrong. We said that banks and speculators should not come before the workers who build the value in companies, ever. It should be workers first. And so we worked with the labor movement to put legislation forward to establish that workers should take the first place whenever there's this kind of a situation in a business. And I am glad to report to you, and I must admit I'm somewhat surprised that it happened, but the pressure was so great and the campaign to deal with MPs of all parties was so effective at describing the injustices here that we now have a law that passed Parliament, and the final piece of it was proclaimed just last week under pressure again from the NDP in the House of Commons, that protects severance pay and back wages and pension contributions that a company has not made. Those items come before any banker or any government or any other creditor. It's the workers that come first. So that's another example of what we can do when we work together. Now we've got some more work to do because we've got to protect the entire pension system because we're facing a crisis of inequality as a result of the problems we're facing with retirement security. Just look at the statistics on this. Right now there's 500,000 seniors who are living in poverty. It has doubled in the last number of months. Now I know one thing about Canadians. They believe that a person who's worked all their life, who's raised our families, who's contributed to the community, who's contributed to our economy all those years, and is simply looking for a little bit of dignity and respect in their senior years, they do not deserve to live in poverty. No senior should live in poverty in this country. And guess what? No surprise to any of you, the majority of those who are living in poverty, who are seniors, are women. And there's a much higher rate of poverty amongst Aboriginals and amongst immigrants and the disabled. So attacking retirement security is again a question of attacking that basic issue of equality and fairness in our society. And so we're going to take it on, and we're making a major campaign of this issue, as is the Canadian Labour Congress. Je félicite mes confrères.
I wish to thank our my friends, our friends in the union movement who have decided to put the emphasis on pension security. This is a top priority. In June, we have tabled a motion in the House of Commons with alongside a program in order to face that crisis. First of all, we have to put an end to poverty amongst our senior citizens. We need to increase the guaranteed pension income, and we must change that right away in order to help those retired people. Secondly, we must increase significantly. I still have a problem with that word. Too many syllables, it says in French. So we need to increase quite a bit the pension program as well as the Quebec pension plan. Thirdly,
system of insurance, a self-financing system of insurance to protect pensions so that the pension you count on is there when you count on it.
Number four, we must adopt a law that will ensure that the non-finance portions of the pension plans be handled in priority in case the company restructures or goes bankrupt.
This motion, with all of those ideas, passed unanimously in the House of Commons. I must admit, I was a bit surprised when the Conservatives voted for this. Unfortunately, one of their members in the caucus was missing for that vote, the Prime Minister, numero uno. So I don't know whether they were misbehaving or whether they knew that ultimately he would make the decision. But you can now say, when you're campaigning for pension reform, that the House of Commons unanimously has supported pension reform, and it's time for the government to act. Some people have asked me how long the situation in Parliament is going to carry on, so let's talk a little bit about some inside activity on Parliament Hill. First of all, the government got a bit of a blank check from another party for quite an extended period of time. We're not operating that way. We're saying we'll take the government's proposals on a case-by-case basis. C'est pas un chèque en blanc qu'on donne à Stephen Harper.
We are asking the Harper government to act.
Issues I've discussed, like pensions, but there's more to do as well. And you'll see that our members of Parliament are stacking up as some of the hardest working in the House of Commons on the issues that you care about. The list is too long for me to discuss here today. But I do want to tell you that we have put a bill on child care before the House of Commons to establish the national child care system. It passed through two readings in the last Parliament and was on its way to a third, and we're going to keep pushing that issue forward. We're going to work on post-secondary education financing, and we have legislation that would establish that post-secondary education financing is a responsibility of the federal government. This is the part of the speech where I get to see where the different workers are from the different sectors are sitting. But we also have a crisis that's facing all of us, public, private sector, old, young, you name it, any part of the world. And that's the crisis of climate change and the need to change the way we deal with energy and the environment. And we have a bill that's being debated in the House of Commons right now that will adopt the same targets that Obama has argued for, that the United Nations has called for, that David Suzuki is calling for, that the global Nobel Peace Prize-winning scientists have called for. And our bill would set those targets for Canada And we believe that it can pass the House of Commons before the global conference in Copenhagen, and I will then go to Copenhagen and say, never mind what Stephen Harper says, this is what the majority of the elected representatives of the people of Canada say. We want to be leaders on the crisis of climate change and work on the environment, not at the back of the pack. And my friends, we are also going to work relentlessly on every occasion we can, because we've come so close so many times, only to be disappointed by members of another party. They wear red ties. When it comes to saying no to scabs in federally related workplaces, we're going to pass an anti-scab law in this country. By hook or by crook, we're going to get it through, because unions deserve our support. They make a better society. And union and labor rights have got to be established in every way across this country, because that's how we're going to build a better future. And while you're on your feet, that's why we voted against the Columbia trade deal yesterday, because we're not going to have trade deals with countries that allow the killing of labor leaders. And we're also not going to let foreign companies come in here and buy up our joyeux économique. We're not going to let companies come in here and buy our resource industries and our key sectors and then start throwing people out of work like they're doing at Valley Inco. And I stood with Paul Moist on a cold hockey rink arena with thousands of workers at the Valley Inco strike. And I got to tell you, those workers are on the front lines of the battle against the race to the bottom, which globalization is trying to bring forward. We've defeated the SPP, and we're going to defeat Valley Inco and this whole agenda. Thank you for CUPE for standing with the steelworkers and the workers across all sectors in the fight for justice for working people.
I'll give you another example.
For all workers. Imagine if you were a worker in Quebec in a federally related regulated workplace, and your first language is French. There is no requirement that you be provided with the contract or memorandums of instruction from the management in a language that's your first language. And if you've read fine print on contracts, you know it's important to read it in your first language. We have put a bill before the House of Commons which will establish that the workers in Quebec can get the right to have that kind of information in their first language. And we think that that's important. C'est important. Not chef.
The MP for Outremont in Montreal has submitted a bill in order to better protect the rights of French-speaking workers who work in the agencies that come under the federal government. This is a matter of equity, and we're going to fight for
this law so it does not infringe in any way on any right of any English-speaking worker either, because we're working for solutions to make this country the kind of place where every worker is valued, no matter what their language might happen to be. Now, today Parliament is working to some degree because Stephen Harper is compromising, but we don't know how long that's going to last. And we're going to keep working on these and other issues, and there's only one other one I want to mention before I wrap up. And I've got to tell you, I am so thrilled today to hear the news about Obama being given the Nobel Peace Prize, and I'll tell you why. Because I think that the people who decided that he should receive that award were thinking ahead. They were, of course, looking at his courageous stand to say that the U.S. should pull out of Iraq. And I am proud to say that our party stood against the invasion of Iraq from day one. And and that was a strong position we took. But his work on disarmament, and I believe ultimately what will come, his approach to Afghanistan, I think could change. I think the people who gave him that award were hopeful that he could understand that what we need to do in Afghanistan is start talking about bringing an end to that war. And Canada should be playing a lead role in calling for an end to the war in Afghanistan. And we're going to be calling for that in the House of Commons. So we're probably going to have an election at some point in the future, and we're going to be building towards that. We're building a stronger movement. And I've got to tell you, when I went on to your website, your national website, and saw a page there that makes it easy, first of all, calls on you to become members of the NDP and makes it easy for you to do so, I was thrilled. You are now leaders in the country in building our movement, and I am very thankful for that, and I hope a lot of you will take advantage of the opportunity to join with us. Because you know that the more people we have working and speaking together, the more effective we're going to be. We have some by-elections on the go right now, and we're working hard to try to get the message out through those by-elections. We have candidates ready to run all across the country, many of them your members and trade unionists. In fact, half of our caucus in the House of Commons are trade union activists, 50% of the NDP caucus. But, of course, it's going to mean working hard, like the people in Nova Scotia did, where we've elected for the first time in the history of Atlantic Canada an NDP government. The orange wave is starting at the Atlantic. There's the Nova Scotia delegates. Let's give them a big thanks. They made history in June. Of course, those of you from Manitoba have been electing the best darn social democratic government that we've seen for 10 years, and I want to publicly thank Gary Doer for his service to this country. There's the Manitoba delegation. I'm not going to go through the full list. I'm simply going to say this in closing. Tell me now.
Well, I really feel that I am amongst friends with you, brothers and sisters. We share similar views. We share a similar vision for an improved future for our families, for the world at large. This is why we are gathered here today, and this is why you've also accepted to attend here as a delegate. It's because you want to change things.
You want to make a difference, and you want to be a part of a movement for change. That's why you're here. You made a decision, you went to your delegates and your members, and you said, I'd like to go and represent you in a discussion about building a better world. Tommy Douglas, our founder, said, courage, my friends, it's never too late to build a better world. And I'm getting a feeling that there's enormous courage, determination, and a sense of purpose in this room that is going to help make our country a better country, that's going to give a better life to our children and to my new granddaughter, Beatrice. For all of that and the services that you give us all, thank you. Merci, mes chers amis. Travaillons ensemble. Thank you, Jack Layton. Come on, delegates.
Now, delegates, Jack, don't go too far. Jack, it's customary that we present a small gift, so I have 6 dozen orange ties. No, I don't. I'm just kidding. Jack did not want a customary gift, and so Jack has been asked to name a cause that he believes in and will make a QP donation to the Child Care Coalition of Canada to keep the fight up for universal child care. Thank you, Jack Layton.
This podcast was recorded at the 2009 CUPE National Convention.